As summer starts to wind to a close, millions of children across the country are getting ready to go back to school without going back to class. Today, another conversation with child psychologist Dr. Juliana Sapienza about how families can prepare for some of the pitfalls that come along with distance learning, how kids of varying ages will handle it differently, and what parents can do to help fill the social void. I am Ian Costello, and it is Monday, August 17th. This is the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the coronavirus pandemic.
Welcome to the COIN Podcast Network.
I'm Dr. Juliana Sapienza, and I'm a child and adolescent psychologist. So on a daily basis, I am doing therapy with children and adolescents.
How much of what you do involves coaching children and adolescents in that family dynamic?
Quite a bit. You know, I work a lot with parents, and I do a lot of parent coaching as well on, you know, how to cope with common child and adolescent issues and difficulties. I do some meeting altogether and some individual work as well. Parents are always a really important part of kids' lives, so they're almost always involved in the therapy process.
Juliana, here we are. Kids and parents are getting ready for a school year unlike anything any of us have ever experienced. Most of the kids in our area will be starting their school year from a distance. So in terms of starting our conversation, I'd like to start with this idea of distance learning. How much are kids going to be missing from not being physically around their classmates?
It's going to be a tough school year, I think, or start of the school year for a lot of kids. I think, you know, there's just so much that you get from that social interaction, those casual times with classmates and lunch, recess, passing time, partner work, all of that kind of stuff that is just a whole lot easier if you're in person. And that human connection and relationship with teachers as well is really important. You know, I think all of that is going to be much more of a challenge this year than it is in person. I know that schools are working really hard on trying to overcome some of those challenges. And my hope is that they've had the summer to prepare. And I think a lot of schools and a lot of teachers have done a lot of work to try and make it the best experience that they possibly can. But I think at the end of the day, kids are still going to be missing out on that social experience. And I know a lot of kids are sad about that.
Does that differ much by age group? Would you say that the effects of this distance learning have the potential of being more detrimental to younger students, like first and second graders, as opposed to juniors and seniors in high school?
I think there are several factors to think about. I think the younger kids, kindergarten, first, second grade, you know, their early years are really setting them up for how they feel about school and what they think of school and what school is. And so, this is a completely different context to start, especially to start school in. That's a big factor. And I think kids' ability to be engaged and stay focused via Zoom or any kind of other online platform is a lot more limited. So I think that's definitely a big challenge for those younger kids. That's not to say that for teenagers, it isn't also a challenge. I think a lot of teenagers especially are missing out on those social interactions with peers that have become so important, you know, are really what a lot of teenagers like school for, right? Is that in-person interaction with their peers. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge for all kids, but I think, you know, the challenges are a little bit different facing different age groups.
This social interaction that we've been talking about, it's obviously critical to development. Are there types of kids who can survive and potentially even excel without it?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I do think there are some kids who, for a variety of different reasons, I think for some kids, this is easier than for other kids. And I think that depends on a variety of different factors, personality or temperament, learning style, what they have going on at home in terms of, you know, what other kinds of social interaction they're getting outside of school. A lot of it depends on whether you're entering school at a transition time. So starting a new school will be particularly challenging. So those kindergarten, sixth grade, ninth grade, I think those times may be especially challenging because kids may not know their other peers and they don't have a foundation to build from, which I think is more of a challenge.
Thinking back to when I was in school, I've kind of always believed that the lessons I learned in school, but outside of the classroom, are more valuable. That was the case for me all the way through college. Do you agree with that? How much do kids learn outside of the classroom? How important are things like recess and lunch and free time and the fights you might get into on the playground? How important is that to our development as people?
Yeah, I think all of that is extremely important to our development as people. And so all of that unstructured time, that's time that kids are learning social skills and how to navigate friendships and relationships and all of those kinds of things that come outside of instructional time. That being said, I do think that we all hope that this is going to be somewhat of a time-limited thing for all kids. And so, yes, they will be missing out on a few months of that, but you know, all things considered, they have the rest of their school careers to have all of that time. And so, I think certainly it's a challenge now, and it may be a challenge for a few months after. But I do think, again, we have an amazing capacity for resilience. And as kids get more experience after kids are back in school, that I think that can really make up for some of that time lost.
Dr. Sapienza, you mentioned kids are resilient and people are resilient. How do you see the effects of this kind of period of distance learning, as short or as long as it may be, manifesting itself later in life? What kind of long-range developmental damage could be done?
That's a good question. I think probably for the most part, we probably won't see a lot of really long-term kinds of damage. I think it's certainly really stressful now. It's really stressful on families. When you think about sort of long-term impacts, I would think of it as if this experience sort of creates another stressor, that's where you might see longer-term impacts, right? So maybe, this experience created a lot more family strife. If this situation hadn't happened, maybe you wouldn't see as much of that. And that may be more what causes some of the long-term impacts. Other kinds of things might be if this experience, for whatever reason, really impacts a kid's feelings about school and they kind of can't overcome some of those feelings, then that may be what has a longer-term impact than this experience itself.
If we're going to get into a situation as unfortunate as it may be that this lasts, say, all of this year, would you be more concerned about the development of a third grader versus an eighth grader?
Yeah, I think I would. I think the younger you are, the harder it is to engage over this kind of platform and the more hands-on learning kids are usually doing at school and, sort of the more learning they're doing about, I think, kids are doing lots of learning about social interactions and friendships all the time, but at younger ages, it's laying more of a foundation, whereas at older ages, you're maybe sort of fine-tuning skills.
Dr. Sapienza, elementary and high school kids aren't the only ones going through distance learning this fall. This is going to be a very strange start to a college experience for thousands of freshmen. What important things are 18 and 19-year-olds going to miss by not being on campus?
It may delay some of the more independence that you would get with being on campus, right? So kids may not be doing dorm life and learning to live on their own quite so soon as they would have had they started this year. That being said, they will have that experience later. It may just be, it's going to be a little bit later than normally we would expect for an adolescent that age. And I think certainly it's a weird start for college, right? I can't imagine myself having started college in this kind of context.
We're dealing with a generation that's already exposed heavily to devices and screens, and in-class instruction is generally not screen time, but distance learning is. Are you concerned about the additional screen time that kids are going to be getting?
It's interesting. We don't have a whole lot of studies on this, because we have tons of studies on the impacts of screen time on development, but a lot of those studies were not looking at the situation right now, right? They're not really looking at, well, what happens when you're doing all online schooling? It's more looking at video games and TV and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a lot of the data that we have on screen time and its impacts. And so it's a little bit hard to know exactly what will be the impact of having a lot of this time. I think one thing is clear, screen time usually has impacts on overall health and obesity rates.
Building off of that then, do you think it's important for parents to further limit their screen time for kids?
I would definitely want to be making sure that my kids were up and moving around and having that physical exercise as much as possible. It's a challenge, right? Because, you know, at the same time as wanting to sort of limit some of that screen time, some of that screen time is also time that many kids have to connect socially with other kids outside of school. And so I certainly wouldn't want to take that away completely either. And so I think, you know, it would be sort of thinking about carefully as a parent, what kind of screen time you're going to have. So maybe prioritizing some more of that social screen time, especially if your kids aren't interacting with other kids in person, definitely making sure that that's a part of what they're doing.
What kind of strain do you see distance learning putting on the family dynamic, especially if we get into a situation where it lasts maybe even the entire school year?
You know, I think one of the things that's such a challenge is that it's really putting parents into a role that they don't usually have. And so in addition to being a parent, they also have to be a teacher. Online learning is tricky because it's a lot of, I think a lot of kids experience it as some of the least fun parts of learning, right? Because it's all the instruction and none of the social time. And so it's especially hard. So it's creating a lot of battles that parents otherwise wouldn't be having with their kids.
It is creating additional flashpoints in that parent-child relationship.
I think for a lot of families, it is, absolutely. I mean, of course, every family is different. You know, for some kids, if a child really enjoys the learning and enjoys doing that, then it's probably not doing that as much. But I think for many families, it is creating a lot of that, those flashpoints. Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Juliana. What would be your advice to families as they work through what is, as we mentioned off the top, a school year unlike anything we've ever seen?
Yeah, so I would say there are a couple of things. I would say try to get ready for the school year in the way that you normally would. So if that means going shopping for new school clothes, if that means going shopping for new school supplies, even if you can't do it in person, you know, doing some of that still to sort of get ready for the school year. Similarly, I would say structure is really important. And so really structuring time and making sure that there is structure to your school day so that, you know, you are having your child get up, get dressed, do their regular morning routine as though they were going to school, and then having sort of set aside time where kids know their schedule, you know, from this time to this time, that's work time, and then later is playtime. Families are really, they really differ in how much they feel comfortable with social interaction outside of the family. And so I think, you know, whatever level of comfort you have with social interaction, you should really try and maximize it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a family who doesn't feel comfortable with any in-person interaction, then try and create opportunities for your child to have some of that online or via video chat with friends and peers. If you are a family that feels comfortable with some interaction, then, you know, really making sure that even though you're busy with school, you're still prioritizing making time for friendships and for seeing friends and for doing some of those activities. I think that's a really important piece. To the extent possible, I also think it can be really helpful for kids and teens to have a separate workspace. You know, I know that families vary in the extent to which they have that room available in their house, especially when parents are working from home too. But as much as you can, I think having that designated workspace, even if you have to clean it up later, you know, even if it's something you set up in the morning and then, you know, when school is over, you clean it up for the night. I think having a designated spot that is free from distractions and is really for schoolwork is another important piece for making this successful.
You can find all of our back to school resources on coin.com. That will do it for Monday, August 17th. Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.